David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Advisor Podcast. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. And today we have an incredible guest joining us. This is actually his fourth show. His name is Scott Friedman. Scott is a fitness expert. He is a coach and motivator who brings years of experience in strength training, nutrition, and peak performance. He is not just about lifting the weights, you guys. He is about lifting people up, empowering them to take control of their health and unlock their full potential. I'm so excited to talk with Scott today, and I'm about to introduce him to you all. So Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. It's great.
Yes, amazing. And where are you coming from again for all of our listeners?
Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago, so Central Illinois. Time, yeah. Okay, amazing. And what's the weather like there today?
You know, it's actually a heat wave where, you know, in March, usually you're going to get some pretty bad weather. It's like 40 degrees today. It was 50 yesterday. So, I mean, we're actually feeling pretty good right now.
Oh, my God. That's crazy because it's the opposite where I'm at. It's like really cold. It was minus 22 this morning. So,
oh, gosh, no.
It's like we're going through the opposite right now. Yeah,
no. That sounds horrible.
So, Scott, last time you were on the show, could you tell our listeners and viewers what you covered, because they're going to want to go back and listen to that episode. It was amazing.
Yeah, there's a handful of things we've talked about in the past. You know, it, general sense is just fitness mindset. Is a lot of people are struggling to stay consistent and see results. And how do you overcome those obstacles, those barriers in your way? And so we kind of took three episodes, kind of did a deep dive onto fitness mindset, how to just become more consistent, how to do progression, how to see results, how to get more confidence and knowledge in your own world. So those would be kind of the last handful of episodes we did on the show.
Amazing, amazing. And can you give all of us a taste of what you're going to be covering today?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's fun to talk about fitness mindset. It's kind of a weird kind of woo-woo topic. A lot of people don't necessarily resonate with it, even though they don't realize that it's 100% for them. So today, right, I thought it would be a good idea to give some people just direct, you know, as little nuance as possible advice on fitness and nutrition. So do X, here's what happens. Do X, here's what happens. And to kind of just give, here's the things that you should be looking to do if you have X goal. And I think that's kind of what I want to hit today, just more tangible conversations.
I love that, because a lot of people complicate it. A lot of people, including me, when I first started to, you know, take control of my health, I was thinking of all of the things and not simplifying things. So I am excited to, you know, jump into it, get into it, and hear what you have to say.
Awesome. I love it.
All right. So what's the first tip you have, or what do you want to cover first? What do you want to talk
about? Yeah. So in no particular order, these are just things as I kind of thought about them. So they're a little jumbled. But the first thing is weight loss is a huge right now. And there's all these different things out there. Every influencer on social media, everyone's saying this, do this, don't do this, have this new oil. Oh my gosh. Eat the, okay. Enough.
Yes. I love your energy. Yes.
Yeah, pure and simple. This is the foundation. This is the blueprint. This is really all that matters from just a weight loss perspective. Is if you want to lose weight, you must be in a caloric deficit. Done. Okay. Now, what is a caloric deficit? Everyone walks around with a caloric amount of a calorie amount they have in their body that will maintain their current weight. So you can go online and, you know, type in, calorie calculator, whatever it might be. It's called TDEE, Total Daily Energy Expenditure Calculator. Try like three or four of them. Average them out. Give yourself a number. Mine is roughly 2,400 calories a day to maintain my current weight. So if I want to lose that weight, I have to be in a deficit. So have less than 2,400 net. And if I want to gain weight, I got to be more than 2,400 net. And so on average, to lose you know, half a pound a week is 250 calories a day deficit on average. To lose a pound a week, it's 500 calories a day on average to lose that. So it's just that simple. It's a math equation. Yeah, you can get into this and stubborn fat. Doesn't matter. On average, if you do it this way, you're going to see results. Again, there's nuance to it as you kind of do this over and over. Just to get started, being a deficit. So if I am at minus, let's say, I'm not sure what the quick math is. Let's say 500 calories a day. I'm eating 1,900 calories a day, or I am consuming or netting 1,900, because you can count fitness. Oh, I worked out for 200 more calories, so I can eat more. Fair enough, whatever.
Right.
But I'm netting 1,900 calories a day, which means over the course of a week, I will lose 1 pound, give or take. And over the course of a month, 4 pounds. Over the course of 2 months, 8 pounds, and so on and so forth. Can you do it straight through? Probably not. There's going to be weeks so you have to kind of ebb and flow a little bit every 8 weeks, every 12 weeks. But overall, it's simple math. And I wouldn't overcomplicate it with this or that or this diet or this program. It's just be in a deficit and you'll lose weight. And a reasonable way to lose weight long term is sticking between anywhere between half a pound to 1 pound a week. Sure, you can do 5 pounds a week. But it's you're gonna there's your body kind of has a pretty good way to rebound off of that stuff. People will do like you know, crash diets, lose 40 pounds in a month, and then they'll gain it all back. And so for a long-term sustainability, half a pound to a pound a week. Next thing you know, 20 weeks later, it's, oh my gosh, I'm down 15 to 20 pounds. You're gonna feel look amazing. It's gonna be awesome. So that's my first piece of advice, is just be in a caloric deficit. Don't worry about the nuance of when you eat it or how or this particular body lotion oil reduces. It's like, what are you doing? Just eat a little less, work out a little bit more, be in a deficit on your day, and you're going to see awesome results.
Yeah, I love that. And it's just so simple. I think the one thing that is coming to mind, though, as you're speaking, and I think all of our listeners and our audience is going to want to know, is what's the easiest way to keep track of how many calories each item they're putting in their body is? Like, do you use a special app, or what is the Scott Friedman way to track their calories?
I think knowing that you think a little bit differently than most people. I'm a very systemized person. I love looking at spreadsheets. I love kind of looking at the data. I mean, I have my own spreadsheet of like, here's what this, you know, oats, you know, traditional oats is 150 calories, X amount of carbs, zero protein, whatever it is, right? And I list everything out that I eat in meals, and I kind of have my total on a spreadsheet. There are apps out there. I don't want to recommend an app because, like, it's not a sponsored show, but, like, you know, free apps like a MyFitnessPal is a good way to get started, right? It's a good way. They have a bunch of foods in their database. You can scan foods on the app to, like, hey, if you buy, you know, whatever, I'm trying to think of a good, if you buy chips, right? Scan the label. How many chips did you have? Great. And mark it down. So there's no right or wrong way. The easiest way is to actually track it. A lot of people don't like to track it, and that's okay. I find that to be very difficult to do, is to not track. But I love it. I love tracking. I don't track daily. Once I kind of have my meal set up, it's very easy to kind of figure out what I'm doing. I also have a list of like 5 to 7 meals that I just kind of transfer in and out each day. Right. So I kind of know what my meals are, and I just pick which three I want to have. Then I go from there. You know, losing weight, getting healthy is a little monotonous at times. I think that's where a lot of people, I want to eat out every single day. It's like, you can. It just makes it a lot harder. For every caveat that you add to weight loss, it becomes that much harder. So if you can't cook your own food and meal prep for 5-6 days and you want to eat out every single day, okay, well, go to that site's website. They might have nutrition information. You go from there. If you have to guess, then you do a lot of trial and error. So the easiest way is to actually just like look at labels and read. If it says per serving is 140 calories and X carbs, X protein, Y fat, write that down. And then you just add it up at the end of the day, and there you go. So there's no trick to it. Using it, you know, another app that comes to mind is Chronometer. That's another free app that you can use to track. That gives you better micronutrients, I think. And like, you can actually see like, all the nutrients in your body. Right. So both those apps, very easy to start with. And then from there, you kind of mold it into kind of what works best for you.
I love that. And you know, it's crazy. When I started like measuring out, like even my salad dressing, you know, I used to like take the bottle and like squirt it on.
I didn't realize
how much I was using.
Oh my gosh.
And then I started doing like the 2 tablespoons, but the amount of calories and certain things that I wasn't even aware of was crazy. And so just having that awareness is so powerful. I love that.
Yeah. I also recommend maybe getting a scale, like a food scale. I know it sounds a little like, oh my gosh, it's really, it takes you I think having a scale takes you less time than measuring out your food. Because if you put a, for example, I this morning I made like oats, and so I put the bowl on the little the scale, zeroed it out at zero, and I know on the thing it says okay, 40 grams is 150 calories. I dump it in, 40 grams, great. Next, doesn't take you any longer. Pour in the milk or the almond milk. Okay, I'm gonna do 240 milliliters, which is essentially grams. Pour it in there. Okay, next, put, you know, scoop in the protein, scoop in the peanut butter, whatever it is. It just tells you what you're doing, and you just map it out. And if you do the same thing regularly, if you want the same amount of calories, you start to memorize, okay, that's how much this is. We're good. That's how much this is. We're good. You know, you could do, you know, fistful is 3 ounces or 4 ounces, whatever it might be. There's little tricks you can do, but inherently a scale, although it may seem a little like crazy or, oh, I'm doing too much, it actually makes your life easier because you're not guessing. It's like, oh, and it doesn't take you any more time than not using a scale. It actually makes it better because then you're like, you know what? Oh, I know if I put 200 milliliters in, it's too hard of oats. If I put 240 in, it's too soggy. So I know 220 is like my favorite texture. And that's like, it could be a good way to actually have better food, a food palate as well. So
I love that. It's like the Scott Friedman way is like simplifying things, right?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I hope so. I'm just simplify as little as possible. And then you can build nuance into your life as you get to it. But I think you need to get to the point where you've done this for a few months in a row. And then you've built that habit before you just go, I'm going to do these 15 things in order to lose weight all at the same time every day for, and like after 2 days, you're done. You're like, okay, I can't do this anymore. Cause it's just, there's too much. Every influencer has got their new method. And it's like, you try all these methods. It's like, just, how about you just eat less a little bit? And then we go from there, or you start counting things or whatever it might be. So I'm not saying it's the only way, but that's the way I happen to like to do it.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. I love that. And so tell us more. What other things are out there that people need to know, but they're overcomplicating?
Yeah. This one's more in the muscle realm. If you're trying to gain muscle or minimum maintain muscle, which is one of the most important things that we can do for our bodies. Because
I'm excited about this one. You're going to answer a lot of my questions right now.
I hope so. This one is very basic, but a lot of people want to lose weight because they think weight loss equals looking a certain way. And that is not accurate. You can lose weight and also lose, you'll lose water, you'll lose fat, you'll lose muscle if you lose weight the wrong way. And if you lose muscle, you are not going to look the way you think you're going to look when you are 20 pounds lighter. So the key here is to maintain as much muscle as possible when you are trying to lose weight. And then conversely, if you're trying to build muscle, I think this rule still applies. Again, some exercise physiologist, dietitian, well, actually, it should be fine, but I'm talking to people just getting started here, okay? And just baseline information, try it this way, see how it goes, is you should be shooting for or roughly eating approximately 0.8 to 1 gram per pound in protein. All right, so I weigh 170 pounds. So quick math off the top of my head, I want to eat somewhere between 140 and 170 grams of protein a day to grow or maintain my muscle as I kind of work through. So if I'm trying to build muscle, that's the same number. If I'm trying to lose muscle, I'm trying to lose weight, but not muscle, that's the same number. Again, there's fluctuations, so on and so forth, but it's a good rule of thumb. So if whatever you weigh, just multiply it by 0.8 or whatever you're currently at. And that's a pretty good range. Yeah, if you don't hit it exactly, no big deal, but you want to get close. If you weigh 170 and you're only eating 100 grams of protein, that is probably going to be a problem for either if you're losing weight to maintain your muscle, because you're going to lose a lot of muscle, or if you're trying to grow muscle, to grow your muscle. So I think that's a really good way to kind of put it.
Yeah, great. And so I was doing fitness coaching in my 20s, and we had these two models. One was of 10 pounds of fat, one was of 10 pounds of muscle. And the muscle was so lean, and the fat was like huge. So people who would get stuck on the numbers and the scale, they would actually be losing fat, gaining muscle, but they wouldn't lose the number on the scale. That was a mental block for them. So people need to understand that as they're getting healthier, they're gaining muscle, which weighs more than fat, or it's equivalent, right? So you're losing fat, your body's just getting into shape, but you still need to put food into your body, right? So that's a lot of protein. How do you ingest all that protein in your body every day? Do you have tips for people for that? Because I struggle with that. I wanted to shove peanut butter in my mouth when I wake up.
I don't recommend that, but peanut butter is high in fat, so it's a lot. It's very calorically dense.
Yeah.
So that it's not. It is okay, but it's like 6 grams of protein per serving, which is not a lot for that many calories. You know, I think you know, from a baseline, it's, you know, and I'm not trying to be controversial, but animal protein is a complete protein. And it's it has everything you need from an amino acid perspective. And so, you know, 4 ounces of chicken is like 25, 30 grams of protein. And, you know, and so ground turkey, ground beef, lean protein doesn't have a lot of fat in it. And it has a lot of protein. That's one easy way. Protein powder, if you can't get it in there, is actually a pretty efficient way, you know, to get it. I don't, you know, there's plenty of proteins out there. I won't recommend a specific protein, but, you know, I don't eat, I'm lactose intolerant. So I don't do any sort of like, you know, milk-based protein. I do like vegan protein essentially. And look, it's protein, right? You know, oh, it doesn't digest. Who cares? You're eating the protein, get started. And just right there, if you have a meal of chicken, a meal of ground turkey, and a meal of protein powder, you're already looking at like 90, 100 grams of protein just right there. And then you'll find, you'll realize, wow, like, oh, this vegetable has actually more protein, or this, you know, whatever it is, like this snack has more protein than I thought. And, you know, you start adding up, oh, wow, there's a lot more. Tofu has a decent amount of protein in it. So there's different ways. It's just about, you know, understanding kind of what you're putting in there and prioritizing your protein first versus last. I think just switching that priority. So that's, I think, you know, when you start to look at your meals, okay, I'm just eating rice and veggies or something, it's like, well, I need protein, right? And that's actually, my parents do that. They'll have like just rice. It's like, what are you, like, that's not a any protein, like not a meal. And then if you're having like very non-lean protein, like very, again, you know, not that it's bad for you, but like, you know, things like pork or whatever it might be, it's like you'll realize there's a lot of fat content potentially, that which is a lot of calories, which could inhibit you if you're trying to lose weight. If you're trying to gain weight, you know, go for it. But yes, I would say protein powders are a great way, but also as you're snacking, look at the food you're snacking on and go, oh, this actually has 6 grams of protein. This has 5 grams of protein. This has 10. And I think people underestimate the amount in veggies and things like that that they can easily consume as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. For sure. Nuts. I always have a bag of nuts in my bag, like a handful of almonds, and that's an easy way to get protein in.
Yeah, you just gotta be careful, right? Nuts are also very calorically dense with like a lot of fat. So they're mostly fat content. But yeah, they have probably what, 5-6 grams of protein per serving, which is good. Like that's, hey, that's 6 grams of protein. So, and protein, by the way, the more you have, again, within reason, the less hungry you get, because it's very satiating. It makes you less hungry over time. So if you're starving all the time because you just had oatmeal and the oatmeal has no protein in it, well, if you add some protein, you will be less hungry afterwards. Not only do you have more calories, but you have more protein, which again makes you less hungry. So as you eat more protein, you'll find it harder to eat foods because you're already eating so much. And a lot of people who eat a lot of food have a lot of just tasty, delicious, amazing carbs, and they don't have enough protein, which is why they're always hungry. You know, have an apple, it's great, love it, but not a lot of protein, and you won't be as the fiber helps, but you won't be as satiated as if you were to have like a nice protein meal. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have the apple, just the content is different. So
yeah, I was actually going to ask you, you touched on a few things, but a few like physical symptoms of not having enough protein, and you mentioned being tired or being hungry. So are those two of the most typical ones in your experience?
I don't think being tired would be one of them. I think being hungry is a big one for that. Again, and hunger, you know, I wouldn't say I'm the best person to say, oh, here's signs you're not eating enough protein. I think the sign of you're not eating enough protein is you're not retaining your muscle during weight loss, or you're not gaining your muscle during an increased phase. In terms of physiologically, you know, oh, I'm hungry. Well, that could be a lot of things. That could be hydration. That could be lack of sleep. That, you know, that could be protein. That could be lack of fiber. Like, there's a lot of things that could indicate from that perspective. So I will hesitate to give a specific answer on that one. But if you're working with someone, or if you're tracking, oh, I've lost, you know, X amount of pounds, but I look no different. I'm not, or my lifts are becoming so much weaker, or whatever it is. Like that would be an indication that you're probably not having enough protein versus I'm hungry all the time. I think that there's more than one variable in terms of being hungry, I'd say.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Yeah, that's a great way of distinguishing us. Great. That's awesome.
All right. So number three, I guess, is in order to gain muscle. So this one, we're going to more fitness based. In order to gain muscle, or to retain muscle if you're losing weight, either way, okay, is you have to work close to failure on every single set. So what this means...
You got to repeat that just for emphasis.
So in order to gain muscle or to retain muscle, you must work close to failure on every set.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Tell us more.
So what this means is, let's say you're doing, what's your favorite exercise on like weightlifting wise?
Weightlifting, probably like squats with weights.
Great. Love squats. Perfect. So let's say you're doing squats and let's say you choose, how many reps do you want to do?
I want to do 10.
Great. 10 reps is great. Okay. So your first, let's say you warmed up properly. You did everything you're supposed to do. Great. So you do your first set of, you do your first set. Let's say you did, what weight would you want to put on the bar? First set.
I think I would do like 20 pounds.
20 pounds. Okay. So 20 pounds, first set. You did 10 reps. I'm going to, now you stop, you re-rack the weight. I said, okay. How many more reps could you have done?
Okay. Well, on that day, let's say I could have done 20 more.
Okay. So, well, that's a lot. So,
that's a lot. I'm aiming high that day. That day, I was superwoman that day.
Fair enough. So, let's say it's anywhere between 5 and whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's, I can do X amount more. If the answer is anything other than 1 or 2, that set is not being worked hard enough to gain the muscle you're trying to gain. And so what I would recommend my clients do is either increase the repetitions or increase the weight based on comfort, you know, how comfortable you are with the weight, until you get to the point where, okay, I did 10 reps. I did it at, let's say, 100 pounds. And I was done. Like, that was it. Like, I had one, maybe two left in the tank. That's what going to near failure looks like if you're trying to build muscle, you know, over and over again as you go through it. There's nothing wrong with just exercising the muscles generally, but if you're trying to gain muscle as you kind of going at this, you want to get close to failure. So because what happens is most of the repetitions you do are essentially just a warm-up, regardless of what set they're on, to get to the point where your body has to tell yourself, okay, I have to stimulate muscle growth in order to move this weight. If it's never hard enough for your body to tell you, I have to stimulate muscle growth, then it's never going to actually grow. And so you always want to work with a weight that's very difficult to do for every set. So for example, for me, let's say I'm doing bench press and I'm doing a dumbbell bench press. I don't have a spotter. So I don't do all that without a spotter. So dumbbell bench press. And I will do, let's just say I'll do 70 pound dumbbells in each hand. And I can do 12. That's pretty much where I know. And if I get to 12, it's hard. I can't get it up. I'm pushing. I'm done. Great. Coach asked me, hey, how many more could you do? I go, that's it. Or I could do maybe one more if I get whatever it is. That's how I know I'm working close to failure and that I'm doing enough work to tell my body, say, hey, I got to grow a muscle here because there's a stimulus that we can't overcome. And so therefore, it allows it to grow over time. Now, if you're losing weight, it's more of a, hey, we're not trying to grow muscle. We're just trying to maintain as much as we can. Because as you lose weight, you're gonna lose your strength. You're going to lose, you're not going to be able to lift as much. And that's okay. But it'll tell you, hey, no. I'm still this strong. Maintain muscle. Don't get rid of the muscle. Don't get rid of it. Let me keep it. And if you're trying to gain muscle, it's, hey, we need more. I got to push harder. And so I think those two things are very important. So whatever weights you're doing, it's great to do 5 pound curls or whatever it might be as you're doing it. But if you're really trying to, get more defined and get more muscle, then I would recommend working, not too failure, but close to failure with 1 or 2 reps left in the tank on every set. It doesn't go, oh, my first set's easier, then my second set's hard, my third set's the hardest. No. They should all be hard all the time. And that's what it takes. Cause you don't need to do 50 million sets a week or a day. You just have to do a handful and you'll see great results that way.
Well, my 20 extra sets that I told you I could do is really, really bad. Then I was not pushing myself at all that day.
But at least you were moving and at least you were getting your body moving, and that's better than nothing.
Right.
And
I love that.
And that's so good.
Yeah, that's very true. I always was scared to push myself in that feeling of like, you're worried that your body's going to give out or your muscle's going to rip or something. I don't know. It's like a mental thing, but I love that. It's like you can't get past a barrier unless you push yourself, So that's a great way of looking at it for muscle growth for sure.
Yeah, I like how you put that too. Also, if you're brand new, don't worry about the nuance of doing that. Just like do the 10 reps at 20 pounds, right? And then build your way up. Just if you're just starting out, be careful. You don't need to go all or nothing. It's about building up to all of this stuff. You don't have to start from 0 to 100. I think that's another big approach, kind of a preface of the whole conversation of, yeah, like, it's okay not to do it perfectly when you first start. Give it a month or two and you'll build your way up and you won't even notice. It'll be great.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. Just getting started is the most
Just get
important
started.
thing.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well,
Number
I'm excited for number four. So, yeah, let's get
this one is crazy. I
going.
didn't I'll be honest, I didn't know this one up until I wouldn't say recently, but about a year or so ago. It's and not that what I was doing before was wrong, but it's interesting to see that the data is coming out slightly different than what it was previously. Is if someone back in the day wanted to gain muscle, most people would say, hey, you got to do within the range of 6 to 12 reps. That's the hypertrophy range if you're trying to build muscle or maintain muscle. That's the
Six to
range, 6 to
twelve
12
reps.
reps
Okay.
is the building muscle. So if you do 15 reps, oh, you're not really building muscle. You're doing more like endurance. If you do under 6, you're doing strength. And I think it is more reasonable now to say that if you're trying to build muscle, anything between 5 to 30 repetitions can build muscle, with the caveat of you got to be close to failure with whatever number you decide. So it doesn't matter if you try to go at a higher weight at 6 reps or a lower weight at 20 reps. What matters is that you are pushing yourself close to failure on the rep scheme, up to about 30 repetitions, give or take. So I think that's a good rep. So people are just starting out, they want to do 20 reps, go for it. It's just a matter of making sure you hit the right mark. Now, the one nuance to this, and the reason I think 6 to 12 is still a very good number to go with, is because as you increase the repetitions, it becomes harder and harder to know if you're actually going close to failure or if you're just stopping because your muscles hurt. And there's a big difference. And even I have trouble after about 15. I have a lot of trouble under, like, I'm like, okay, this really burned. You get like a nice burning sensation. And you're like, okay, I can keep going, but I don't want to keep going because it burns so much. And so when you're in the lower repetition range, you don't really get that as much, or at least as it doesn't feel as much as that. So I would recommend still that 6 to 12 range. But if you're someone who's not confident or starting out, yeah, 15, 20, 25, as long as you're pushing yourself, is at least a good way to get started. And you still will build muscle that way.
And how many sets do you recommend that people do of those reps?
That's a great question. That's number five. And number
Oh, look at
five, yeah,
me.
number is so I do it in sets per week. So sets per
That's
week to
per week.
me, yeah, of per muscle group. So for example, chest, back, quads, hamstrings, shoulders. As you get small, so I'll break it up into three categories. You have your major muscle groups, chest, back, and quads. You kind of have like your middle hamstrings and shoulders, and then you have your smaller stuff, biceps, triceps. I don't, you can count core and calves, whatever it is. Do those at your leisure, essentially.
Look at those at your
Biceps,
leisure.
triceps. Yeah, and glutes is probably in the middle as well. Glutes is probably in the middle. And I would. The first three are the most important is your back, your chest, and your quads. And so I generally recommend anywhere between 10 to 20 sets a week for each of those muscle. So for example, if you work out 3 days a week full body, you do everything full body, and you do 3 to 4 sets of each muscle each of those days, you are within the range of that goal. So I do, let's say on Monday, I do 4 sets of chest. And let's just say we just do bench press all week. And then Wednesday, I do 4 sets or 3 sets of chest. And then Friday, I do 3 sets of chest. In the week, 7 days, that's 10 sets. So that's enough of muscle stimulating volume to get you results or to maintain what you currently have or to not lose in a weight loss phase. Same with quads, same with back. As you get smaller in the muscles, you don't need quite as much of the volume to maintain, because also they're being worked. When you work your chest on a bench press, you're also working your shoulders, you're also working your triceps, and so those are also being worked indirectly. So your glutes, your hamstrings, your shoulders probably don't need as much. So if you're, let's say you're doing 14 for chest, back, and quads, you probably only need to do 9 or 10 for, you know, hamstrings and shoulders and glutes. And then biceps, triceps is probably like, you know, 6 or 7 or something like that. Give or these are all give or take based on the person, but it's a good kind of starting place. Now, if you're just starting out, don't do that. Start with like 2 a week and work your way up over the course of weeks. But for people who've been working out for a couple of months, it's a good, you know, if you're not sure what to do, start go for 10. So figure, okay, what do I have to do to get the 10 sets of chest a week in a 7-day period? And I think you'll see a lot of results that way.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
So I think I want to know, our viewers and our listeners want to know, what's your favorite body area to work out? And what's your least favorite? I know I used to hate doing so legs. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. You got to choose it.
Fitness is horrible for you. I hate working out. I wish I was just in shape by not having to work out. That would be great, right? It's awesome. My least favorite? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I really don't like rowing very much. I like it when I think mentally getting into rows for me is just, I don't like the idea of like almost like
the rowing machine.
Cable, like a bent over rows. I don't like bent over rows because my back, but like a regular seated row, I don't like it because it's, for me, it's hard to get close to failure. Like a bench. I love chest because it's easy for me to get to failure. The motion feels good. I like all that. You know, I hate doing unilateral exercises for legs because it just takes forever to do. That's one of the harder things for me to stay consistent on. So like single, you know, like lunges or split squats, you know, or single leg RDLs. Like you just gotta do one side, then do the other, and then you have to, and then it just takes a long time to finish. And you're trying to, you know, I'm trying to move. So I'd say, you know, my favorite is probably upper, you know, chest, upper body, and then my least favorite is probably a seated row, just because it's hard to get to failure for me personally. And then, you know, any sort of unilateral single leg exercise, so I do them all the time. And it's like, okay, I gotta do this today. Which, by the way, I think is, if you saw me roll my eyes there, I think it's almost good to see that. Yeah, I'm not in love with all the workouts that I do. I do them because I know I need to, and I know they're good for me, and I've built that habit. So I go to the gym knowing that like today might not, it's like, yeah, I got to do this today, but like, I know I'm going to feel better afterwards. So if you're someone who thinks you have to feel good while working out, I disagree. I don't always feel good when I'm working out, and I feel good afterwards all the time, but I don't always want to go. And I think that's important. Like that feeling of I have to want to do it or it's not right. When I wake up at 5:30, I'm like, I don't want to go. I'm like, oh, like, do I want to sleep in more? My bed's so comfortable. It's, you know, it's cold outside, you know, but you get up and you do it because it's, you know, it's good for you. So that would be my
favorite. Yeah.
What's your favorite exercise?
Well, I'm big into yoga. But when I was lifting weights and doing weight training, the worst day was like leg training. I hated leg day so much, but I feel like my muscles are always sore no matter what. Like I practice yoga every day. I'm doing all these things, but they're always sore. Like, I don't know why. My legs are always sore. So legs is absolutely my worst. I would say I like the core training. I like arm stuff, but yeah, legs for some reason, I just could leave it.
Fair enough. Everyone's got their thing, right? Like I love doing squats. Big. I like squatting. So it's
okay. Well, we got to swap motivation for a day somehow.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So amazing. Okay. Can you talk to us about all of the amazing services that you provide? Where can we find you? I love all these tips that you're giving us. Where are you? What do you do for people? And how can we find you?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the website, you know, scottspeaksfitness.com, you know, it's a way to kind of look at kind of all the services and things like that. But really, I'm pretty active on social media in terms of like, there's a bunch of content on there. So Scott Speaks Fitness is the handle on social media. And then the podcast, you know, I usually do a handful of episodes a week. They're all short clips, you know, 8-10 minutes, give or take. And, you know, so that's called The Power of Progress. It's on, you know, Apple Podcast, Spotify, things like that. So those would be the kind of the main ways to reach me.
Amazing, amazing. And we're going to have all of that in the show notes for you guys. So it'll be just a click away. Now, Scott, I'm curious, what got you into fitness? Like, where did your passion for this come from? And I think our listeners and viewers are really want to know too.
Yeah, I have a few different answers for this because it comes at different times in your life. I think it first
Yeah.
started when I was 15 years old. I was always this naturally lanky, kind of scrawny kid, but I kind of had some definition. And at one point, like my junior year of high school, I started to realize I wasn't as like defined as I used to be. I was like, oh, I'm getting a little like chubby. So I was like, absolutely under no circumstance am I going to let that happen. I don't know what it was. I was just like totally, I was just like terrified of it. So I started working out, joined the track team, started running, losing weight, not really losing, but building muscle. And I started working out. I made every mistake you could possibly make at the gym. I was on machines like backwards. You would see like all those like memes. I was like, oh, this is wrong. And the trainer would have to come fix me. And then I kind of, I was in college and I was doing a pre-physical therapy major, and I realized I hated that and I wanted to kind of switch. I didn't know what kinesiology was at the time. And kinesiology was basically exercise science, which is essentially personal training and or the study of the human body. And I got into that, and it was easy for me. I understood it very well, and I was able to explain it to people. And I was able to kind of help people kind of on their journeys, and it kind of just clicked. So I think a little bit of fear of being out of shape, and then also like, oh, I'm like really good at this. Like this makes a lot of sense. And I should, I could pursue it and do something with it. And of course, helping people achieve their goals is always, it's a plus, the benefit of kind of doing it. So.
Yeah, I actually picture that in my mind when you said it. You like being backwards on like a leg machine or
Oh
something.
yeah, it was
But
bad. It was like, oh, this isn't right.
I love though that you just like started doing it, even though you were doing it messy per se. Because like as you mentioned today, you don't have to do things perfectly. You just have to get started in order to build a routine and to get yourself into something, right? So that's amazing.
Yeah, and I heard, like you said, I heard something recently, and I'm gonna botch the quote completely, so but try to take the essence of it is your success is in the realm between how much you're willing to embarrass yourself. We're so scared of public embarrassment. It's like the number one thing we're all against, for various reasons, and we won't do things. And we will stay miserable or complacent, and we will not allow ourselves to be happy or do something because we're scared of the potential of possibly being embarrassed from our perspective. And so the more you allow yourself to be embarrassed on things you're trying to pursue, the more success and the happier, more fulfilled you're going to be, I think, long term. And so for me, as a 16-year-old kid, look, it's tough because like you don't want to be embarrassed, but it's like I didn't know anyone going to the gym. I was like, I'm just gonna do it. And like I just kind of had this like I don't care mentality. At the time, maybe it's that it's naive. And as you get older, you kind of start to care about things a little bit more than you probably should. But I think that that's a good thing. If you're not doing something because of a fear of being embarrassed, which you might not admit to yourself, but part of it is that, or whatever it is, it's if you can get over it, or just at least push yourself through it to feel that embarrassment and go through it, you'll grow, you'll learn, you'll gain that experience, and you'll push forward, you'll kind of level up as you do it. So I think that's a very important thing for people to hear.
I love that. I was literally just going to ask you to leave our viewers and listeners with a tip or something powerful. Do you want that to be what you're leaving the listeners and
Yeah,
viewers?
I like it.
I love
Yes.
that. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, people worry so much about what other people think, you know? And it's interesting, and this is going to sound bad or mean, but nobody really cares because
No one
everyone is so
cares.
stuck in their own mind. So nobody cares. And I watched a video that I did like, I don't know, 2, 3 years ago. It was like a first live or something. And it gave me so much perspective. I was terrified. I like choked on my words. I looked awful, like the camera, the angles, the lighting. And I was like, that is so perfect and beautiful, though, because then I can look back on it and like you can see your confidence. I can actually see the confidence grow throughout the years of doing
Oh,
them. So
that's good.
I love that you touched on that, repetition, the mindset, and just being okay with embarrassing the crap out of yourself.
Love it. Love it.
Awesome. Well, it has been so much fun talking to you today, Scott. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And hopefully the audience got something out of it.
Oh, I got a lot out of it. Our audience definitely got a lot out of it, and they're going to be searching for you on your website. And so that is scottspeaksfitness.com. Everyone, get in touch with Scott. He can help you on your fitness journey. He does not like rowing, so maybe stay away from the rowing. But thanks so much for being here. Thanks again. Thanks to our listeners and our viewers. And until next time, I am Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Ciao for now.